decides it's time to go. It may be all in vain, I know, into the woods, but even so, I have to take the journey.
Into the woods, the path is straight, you know it well.
But who can tell?
Into the woods to lift the spell. Into the woods to visit mother.
Into the woods to sell the cow.
To get the money. To go to the festival.
Into the woods to grandmother's house. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
The way is clear.
There's obviously a lot going on into the woods. And in case you didn't know, that is the name also of the production at the Lorain Community Music Theater is performing. It runs July 22nd through July 31st at the Stalker Arts Center. And we have some representatives of those who have made it in and out of the woods. We have Marlene Karpinski, the witch, Aaron Donovan, the baker's wife, and playing the part of the music director, Anthony Trifoletti. Thanks for coming in, all of you. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having us this morning.
So take me into this story, and I will just tell you I see that Stephen Sondheim is responsible for this, so there's a lot to this. But more recently, it was a movie.
Absolutely.
But when did it first actually was on stage? Is this one of these movies, one of these things where they've had it for a while and suddenly it's
in 1977? Okay. 1987.
So we're talking some 30-some years for that as well. Why is it a hot commodity now? Why the Lorain Community Music Theater doing something like this, Anthony?
Well, last year, I want to say around December, they made it into a movie with Meryl Streep, a lot of other big names. It drew quite a hype again for the show, and LCMT wisely chose to perform it this summer.
Was this something that was available for community theaters to do up to this point? Or I know sometimes there's they hold back on allowing things like that.
No, this was not restricted.
Okay.
However, it has become restricted now because it's going to be on tour and at the Cleveland Playhouse, as a matter of fact, in the wintertime. Okay. They're bringing it back. So future groups will not be able to do this.
Fortunate enough that you were able to get the paperwork in.
We were thrilled to do this.
And you play the part of the witch.
I am.
Does the witch have a name? Do these people have names, or are they just these sort of general kind of characters represented in that?
Well, some people say that it's really funny because the baker's wife won the Tony Award for the production, Joanna Gleason, and they said, wow, she must have been a really good character to win a role when she doesn't even have a name. So
there's only a few characters that have names, the recognizable ones. It's a story of Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, and how their lives are intertwined by the baker and the baker's wife.
Very interesting that sort of something that was some 30-some years ago has sort of come back as a movie, but there's also a lot of those with the TV. There's this whole thing about fairy tale characters. We somehow want to know more.
Well, fairy tales are so timeless. They kind of elicit that inner excitement of being a child and having your imagination, and I think that that's really a timeless classic thing, and Into the Woods is such a beautiful juxtaposition of all of the fairy tales, and they're put together in such a way with music and a very interesting storyline that does follow the typical Grimm's fairy tale stories in the first act, but then kind of goes deeper into the what happens after Happily Ever After in Act Two. So it's very interesting, and I think that this show is timeless and will continue to be a very much loved show for the next century.
The baker's wife. What is the role of the baker's wife?
She and her husband are trying to have a child, and the witch, Marlene, has put a spell on us, on the family line, and we can't. So we are going into the woods and coming into contact with all of these people, fairy tale characters along the way, trying to make a potion to become able again to have children.
And I suppose when you get into the woods, there's a lot of people that you come and encounter with. Right?
Well, there are. There are. Although even our cast is small. We only have 18 people in our cast, which is the traditional casting process for this particular show. But yes, we all intertwine. We meet each other while we're on this quest to find the four ingredients to not only undo the baker's and baker's wife's dilemma, but also undo the witch's dilemma. She lost some things and was cursed herself. and became old and ugly, and she wants to become lovely and beautiful again. But there is a caveat with that.
Although there always is. There's always something just out of reach. Anthony, let's bring you in on a little bit as the music director.
Sure.
A lot of times with different musicals, you end up with a, you know, a cast, and then there's like a chorus of people like this. Apparently, this one doesn't seem to have something like that. How different is it, or how do you kind of play with something like this?
Now, for this particular show, I mean, every character on the stage is pretty much a lead. They all have a very big part in making the score come to life. And Sondheim, I mean, he's written a brilliant score here. And the need for a chorus is not really present. The 18 people cover everything, and you'd be amazed at the sound that we get out of them.
Well, is this something where there's the story, the music is advancing the story? It does, or is it one of those, musicals have different styles to them. Ones where there's acting going on, then they stop and they all perform, and then they get back to what's going on. Is this sort of more like an opera in a sense?
It is very much like an opera. The music is the story. It certainly outweighs the actual spoken dialogue in the show. Everything is sung. Everything is sung.
Sounds like there's a lot of dancing, though, too. You can't stand still when there's music like this.
Well,
right?
There's not necessarily dancing as such. Thank goodness, because I have two left feet, even if they're covered by a long, long gown. It's movement, and it doesn't stop. We sing and move, and we move and we sing, and so there's a lot of movement to it. And choreographed so that you're not colliding into each other. Again, these different story entities have to interweave with each other. So we kind of cross in and out of the trees and up and down the glen. And so, yeah.
When you're doing something like this, and you can speak on maybe what kind of a sets. I think Into the Woods, so I think you kind of have that's the woods as a character in itself, too, I suppose.
Our set is actually quite impressive for a community theater. I've done community theater in the past, and sometimes you're just using boxes and chairs, and this set is very impressive. We have three large set pieces that make moving and choreography difficult at times, but it really gives nice dimension to the show. It gives a beautiful visual effect, as well as just lots of places to play on for the actors and the performers.
What about the costumes or the makeup for some things like this? Fairy tales always, you know, there's many kinds of interpretations of what things look like, and these are characters that sort of are from our imagination.
This can be played two ways. I've seen it done with modern clothes, and I've also seen it done in period. And that's what we are doing. We've chosen to do like a Renaissance type of look, you know, the traditional prince outfits and the puffy gowns and the long, flowy dresses.
Eyelashes.
And hoops, false eyelashes and hoops and things like that. So our costumer, Claudette Campana, has done just a remarkable job at assembling these gowns and outfits for all of us. And her daughters are actually involved also. Megan Campana is our makeup artist who changes the prince into a wolf and me into the witch, and Nicole, Claudette's other daughter, Nicole Pachotic, is our props person. And again, it's a period heavy with props also, swords and things like that.
Is this something appropriate for all ages, or what do you usually think for something?
I think there is some mature content in Act Two, but as long as, you know, parents are there to talk to children about what they've seen, I think it's completely appropriate. They're real life situations that happen to people. So, you know, Act One is all happily ever after. So if you have young children who love fairy tales, you could come for Act One and leave at intermission. But otherwise, I really think it is an appropriate musical because...
Wait a minute. Happily Ever After ends, and then there's an intermission?
And then there's intermission.
And then the lawyers or somebody gets involved or something.
Lots
it seems
of lawyers.
Like there seems to be some sort of.
Well, it's a matter of be careful what you wish for. And that's okay. One of the lines that the witch sings. She tells you, be careful what you wish for, because what you wish for may not be what you really, want.
Really want.
And also, there are lots of consequences to actions, because throughout the play or the musical, a lot of us are kind of undercutting certain people to get what we want, and what are the consequences of those actions when that happens.
So these are those sort of human stories that would appeal no matter when this
absolutely
play is performed. And
it's so appropriate, especially in today's world when, you know, well, he did that to me, so I have to get back at him. Well, is that the right thing to do? and what are the consequences of that? So it's pretty timeless. The storyline is very timeless.
Anthony, how many songs are in this particular production, and how how do you kind of get everything ready to go on the 22nd?
If you look at the score, it says there are 71 musical numbers in the show. And it's because some of them just keep going one right into the next. The cast has worked extremely hard to learn this score and to memorize it. The way it's written, there are a lot of repetitive themes and phrases with very slight variations each time. So it was a real challenge to memorize some of this stuff, but they have worked hard and they're doing a remarkable job with it.
And again, this is coming up on July 22nd, runs through the 31st at the Stalker Arts Center. If people want to get tickets for this, it sounds like one that's going to really pique the people's interest here.
Absolutely,
in Lorain.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can go online at www.stalkerartscenter.com. You can call the box office, and the box office number is 440-366-4040 to get your tickets.
Our guest this morning, the witch, Marlene Karpinski, also the baker's wife, Aaron Donovan. By the way, is there a baker?
There is. He's sleeping, I'm sure.
That's right. Well, really,
he was up all night baking bread.
Yeah, that's true. And then also Anthony Trifoliti, the music director. Thank you for all coming in this morning. And break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
825 at WEOL.